Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
No, I don't even want to do that to him and start telling all these Stiddy stories. I'm excited not just for Stiddy, but for all the guys in that locker room.
There's Jarrett Stidham, your 2020 starting quarterback for the Patriots.
Dale Arnold.
What I saw last year was him throwing the puppies wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac. These brothers were not ready.
Rich Keefe.
Boston, we are done with the investigation.
Can you believe this?
There's been a delay.
What now?
Just because I, frankly, have not had time to turn to it.
Shotty, what that thing do?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Lots of beer in the fridge.
Two garbage bags.
Two sacks.
No sack.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. What we don't want to do on this program, Rich, is tell any Stiddy stories.
Nope, not going to do that.
Scared
me. I don't have any.
Three times I heard it, it made me nervous, but then I realized what he was really saying. And
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm bummed out. I thought I had my baseball glove in my car, and I don't. I was going to have a toss with Lou. I got everything else. I got wiffle balls, wiffle ball bats, footballs, basketballs. I don't have a glove.
Case of Similac.
I'm mad. Mad about that.
What happened to your glove? You always
must
lugged
be at
it
home.
Around.
No, I know. I'm always ready for a game. Driving around different sand lots. I must be at home. I have to go looking for it.
Yeah, sorry you missed it.
Yep.
By the way, Steve Burton, Channel 4, tweeted out the news a few moments ago. Congratulations to Bill Belichick, who was just nominated for a Sports Emmy Outstanding Sports Personality Studio Analyst for his work on NFL Network's 100 All-Time Team.
He was really good on that. I mean,
he was really good.
He was really good. He was super into it. And he was, like, honestly, the perfect guy to talk to because
nobody cares more about the history of the game
right,
than him.
And nobody can really even speak to it, I think, as well as him. So 100 years of the NFL. And for a guy who's, in his late 60s, so he's been involved in it for such a long time. But like you said, he's a historian of it, too. So everything that predates him, he probably heard from his father, and he cares so much about that. I mean, you remember there's that conversation from years ago where he's talking about best quarterbacks ever, and he's bringing up, like, Burt Jones and, like, all these other guys. So he cares so much about it. And then a number of the guys on the list, whether he was with the Giants or the Patriots, he either coached or coached against. And he was just in his glory. Like, for people who say Belichick,
he looked like he was having such a good time.
I think that's literally his favorite thing he could possibly be doing was that. And you could tell.
Well, short of maybe talking about Navy lacrosse, but that would have been the other.
Right, right. Those would probably be the top two things. But he was just in his element. Whereas normally when there's a microphone in front of him, he just really couldn't be bothered. He gives you short or non-answers. And then that's the opposite version of it. Is him.
It's probably the most accurate snapper, certainly in his era.
Like, what was that? He's like, that guy was an accurate snapper.
In his era.
But he knew it. And so he was, who else could break down centers from the 1940s better than Bill Belichick? Nobody.
He'd be it.
Yep.
So I'm looking on my Twitter feed right now, specifically at the OMF on WEEI Twitter feed.
Yep.
And I'm seeing Lou in your studio, talking to us. Well, he couldn't hear me, but
it's my studio.
Talking to us in his uniform.
He's in full uniform.
With his glove and his ball.
Yeah. All I want to do is have a toss with him. All I want to do.
He's got the whole thing, the number 26, yep. Maloney on the back and all that stuff. He seemed actually somewhat sedated when he, maybe that's the wrong word.
Sedated.
That's a little harsh. When he was talking to you, like, he was calm. Because earlier,
yeah,
the OMF Twitter feed, also sent out a video of Lou.
Yeah. He tweeted it out himself, I believe.
He did, and then, originally, yeah. And then they retweeted it. Yeah. And let's just say he sounded a little different.
Hey, it's Lou. Listen, first of all, hope everybody out there is being safe. They're being responsible as we get through this coronavirus. If we're responsible, if we do what we're told, hopefully we can get on the other side of this thing quicker than maybe some people expect. We'll see. Just be responsible, will you? Because I tell you, right now, I'm not happy. Today is March 26th. It's, as we all know, it's supposed to be opening day, which I think is the greatest day in all of sports. The Red Sox are supposed to be up in Toronto. That is not going to happen. I'm having a tough day. I am. I woke up. I had my coffee, you know, my little Red Sox mug. My wife, she made some pancakes.
Ooh.
I drew little seams on each pancake, make it look like a baseball.
Sure.
My son's a little concerned with me. I told him I'm going to be just fine. This isn't really affecting me. I'm sad, but I'm not losing my mind or anything. I mean, we've been in the house for 10-2 freaking weeks. It's not like I'm starting to lose my mind at all. Hmm. And now I got to get thrown here, and opening day gets thrown upon me, gone, no more baseball. But I'll be just fine. Don't worry about me. I'm not losing it. Okay, I'll talk to you guys later on today. First, though, I got to get some work in. All right, bye-bye. Go!
Yep, so then he took off to the backyard. I don't know if he has a tee out there or what he's
probably
doing.
Probably got a whole batting cage.
Maybe
making
one of those,
his son shag flies for him or
one
something.
One of those screens that he can just kind of, you know, get some infield work on. So he's ready to go. Still in uniform from that video. So he's ready to go. He'll probably do the whole show with his glove on.
Top of the hour, OMF will come in and Lou will be. As you're sitting at home, if you're not watching, you know, on Twitter or anything, or as you're sitting at home listening, just picture Lou in his entire Red Sox uniform.
Looks like he could still play a few innings, doesn't he? Yeah, the guy's in good shape.
He's in good shape.
Yep.
He's done a real nice job with that. He's kept himself, you know, in fighting trim.
Yep. He's ready to go. Next thing you know, we're going to get Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins walking down the hallway, full Patriots uniform, thigh pads, hip pads, tailbone pad.
Our Twitter friend Dice said, the way Lou is acting, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea for him to throw on a batting helmet also.
No, maybe a good idea. Yeah. You know, protect him from himself a little bit.
Just to be safe. Yeah, you don't know. Things could get a little.
It's supposed to be a good day. It's supposed to be like a holiday, like you said, like Lou said. Whether the team's good or not, at least opening day is sort of always a fun time. And that's been pushed.
That was as fun as we're going to get today. No. Well, other than, you know, Davey Eyeballs playing the game for us.
0-1, tough start, but you know, it's a long season, Dale. They got a lot of room to grow here.
I did, by the way, on Twitter, on my Twitter feed at Dale E. Arnold, I did tweet out the picture of Joe and I calling the game.
Yeah,
in Tokyo, and I will freely admit that was about 45 pounds ago.
Oh, there you go.
But it's,
how about that?
Things change, you know, over the course of the years, and
sure do.
It's not. It was a unique experience. I will say this.
And I hope they never do it again.
Oh, it was dumb. It was just
no, like it's cool. Like if I got to go travel to it or whatever, like that's cool. But as a player, I'm like, what is this? And then you go and play a couple of other exhibition games after that. They played two games over there. Then didn't they play like Oakland or something? But they stopped
they played two Japanese teams, and then they played the two games against Oakland. Then they flew back to California.
Right.
Played another couple of exhibition games and then restarted the regular season.
And what time was the game on locally? Was it like 5 a.m.?
It's about a 12-hour difference, yeah.
Because I remember I was working for a station up in New Hampshire and we carried the games. And so we had some sort of weird coverage and schedule for that. But that was bizarre.
I will tweet out because I just found it. I will, it's as close as I have to it. I will tweet out the other picture I have of the thing that just scared Terry Francona to death. And that was because we watched it happen with the Japanese. They hold batting practice with two hitters and two cages two pitchers at the exact same time.
Crazy.
And Tito turned to me as we were watching and he said, Dale, I believe we'd get somebody killed if we did that over here.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
I've never seen anything like it. I watched it in action. I didn't see anybody get hit. I didn't see anybody get hurt. But they actually run batting practice two at a time.
Yeah,
Lou
I
would
guess
know because Lou played over there.
You know,
I'm sure Lou did it on a daily basis. And
I think hitting's fine. It's just if you want a field is where it's out of control. I mean, that is pretty scary. But, I don't know, you get twice as many people to get swings in before the game, I guess.
But the entire concept of playing over there and then coming back and playing preseason again, then playing regular season. Then they played in L.A. They played in that stadium where it was like 130 feet down the line or something.
Yeah.
It was just, it was.
I don't know. I don't like it. And then it's also kind of an excuse for teams, too. Like any of the teams that do it, when all of a sudden you, even if it's starting the year, but if you just throw something off like that, like think about Alex Cora this past year. Complained that they had to open the year in Seattle. So how do you think he would have felt if they had to open the game in Tokyo or open the season in Tokyo? Like it just it throws you off, and it's not necessary, and it's not equal playing field either, because you know you're competing against the Yankees and the Rays and other teams like that in your division, and they don't have to go to Japan. You know, it's just like the teams in the NFL. Like some of them have to go to London, some have to go to Mexico, others don't. So I've never liked that. If you want to do an exhibition game there or something to kind of grow the game, kind of like they do in soccer, like you're not going to get a game that counts between, you know, Real Madrid here in the United States, but they might come over and play like one of those friendlies or something.
That's fine. Just don't go over there to play regular season games.
Yeah, forget that.
But that was the opener back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier, and I think this was today, there's a podcast called Raising Fame.
Ooh.
And Tom Brady Sr. appeared on the podcast. Now, let's be honest. He seems more likely to say something out of his butt than his son does. I mean, his son's a bit more buttoned down, probably not going to get anywhere. And we've got a couple of cuts here. Ryan Hannibal has written about this on WEEI.com, but we've got a couple of cuts here of Tom Brady Sr. on the Raising Fame podcast. And this first cut here, he's saying that he thinks that after 20 years with the Patriots, this is time for a new chapter, maybe reinvigorating his son.
20 years is about four lifetimes in the sports world. Pretty unusual that people don't leave one franchise for another. And after 20 years, I just kind of sense that this is going to be kind of a new chapter. It's kind of a way to reinvigorate things. And, you know, the Patriots are darn good to us and darn good to Tommy. And, you know, now that he's moved on, it's kind of fun. We get to see some different sides of the world. We don't get down to Florida very often and down in that area. So it's pretty cool. And I think it is for him too. I think he's going to be, he's going to be a little bit reinvigorated because after 20 years, things get much more boring.
Boring.
Wow.
Was it boring? This won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, that
touch
seems
more boring.
So year 18 was boring. I don't know if any of the years were boring. I don't think any of the, you could make a pretty good case. The 20 years of Patriots football, were any of them boring? And I'm trying to put myself even in Brady's shoes. Like as a fan, I would say no, none of them are boring. They, you know, like 09 was disappointing. You know, 06 was frustrating because you didn't have receivers. You know, 15, like there were some questionable decisions late in the year, but boring, like they were never boring. And I think Brady was definitely pissed this year at times about how the offense played. But was that boring? Like boring is the last word I would use to describe the Patriots.
I would agree with you. So if you're wondering if Tom Sr. and Galen, his wife, had an idea about what Tom was going to do before we knew what he was going to do, it turns out that he did.
It's kind of a process, a sense that some things were changing. And then when he ultimately pulled the plug, he called us the day before and said, you know, I'm pulling the plug. And we were, you know, we weren't sad. We were kind of happy for him because this is his journey. And so as much as we love Boston and, you know, it's going to change our life. And we have a daughter and her family to live up in Boston. So it's going to be a little bit more difficult for us because every time we go to Boston, we'd be able to see her as well. And so it was a twofer. Now it's going to be a little different. We're going to triangulate the trips from San Francisco to Boston to Tampa Bay. And it's just going to be really neat. Actually, I'm really thrilled for him that it's going to be great for him. It's going to be great for the family.
He's excited about it. you know, he's looking forward to the next chapter and everything else. And I think Brady can't help but be reinvigorated. Like, that part I agree with. But that's just because you're going to another team. I think most guys want to go to another team. It's all new teammates, sort of a, you know, it's like a fresh start. Even
re-energized.
Yeah, like, how could you not be? You know, I think even, like, Mookie Betts and David Price are going to feel that way in L.A. And it's not like they had the same type of history that, Brady had. But that's just kind of... Now, that can wear off. Like, he might, you know, week four might be like, oh, okay.
What have I done?
Maybe. Or yeah. or it keeps going. You know, you're 4-0, and you're like, oh, it could last the whole season, could last the first week. Like, you have no idea. But that part I definitely agree with. And if you're Brady's dad, who, you know, kind of famously a few years ago said, it's going to end badly in New England. Like, he kind of predicted that it wasn't going to be win a Super Bowl, retire, and everybody's happy, and that whole thing. Like, he kind of predicted it a while ago, and I don't know how ugly it got, but he's not here, right? Like, it got to the point where he wants to play, and they couldn't agree on it. And so he has to go down to Tampa to play, and so Tom Brady Sr. is happy for him because it's his kid, and he gets to keep playing, so why wouldn't he be?
You bring up an interesting point, because we have been in agreement that the reason we think Tom left was that he wanted to get away from Bill Belichick. That, you know, the relationship had run its course, that it was time to move on. And Tom Sr. talked about that relationship as well.
I can't tell you the hundreds of times that Tommy has said Bill is the best coach in football. I mean, he's just the Tommy sings Bill's praises. So the war sounds a little bit harsh. I think it's a separation. You know, Bill's got a lot of responsibilities to keep the Patriots on track, and that is a bigger responsibility than keeping Tommy under the hood. So you know, both of them are mature individuals, and I really respect Bill's decision and respect Tommy's decision as well. It's okay to take different paths. You don't have to stay joined at the hip.
It does sort of sound like Tom, doesn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. And I also think, again, if you're a player and you're dealing with Belichick, there's like two different Belichicks that you're dealing with. Like, you're.
And by the way, it's not until you're no longer a Patriot that you get to deal with a human being Belichick.
No, I mean, well, so maybe there's even three. Like, yeah, there's, you know, I mean, just coach and GM. So you could sit there and say there's no better coach. And yeah, well, you're right. And, you know, you're not lying about that. But then some of Brady's issues over the last few years, I think, had more to do with Belichick, the player personnel guy. Like, he's saying, we want to take you year to year. That's not necessarily the coach part of it. Like, the on the field, here's how we're going to scheme things up. That's the guy that is in charge of the financials. That's the guy who is or isn't replacing Gronk. That's the guy who is or isn't willing to give you $25 million. Like, that guy you can have a problem with. But then on Sunday, and he's, you know, coaching circles around the other team's coach, then, yeah, of course you want to play for that guy.
As Tom has said, by the way, he didn't just tell his dad this. He's told everybody who would listen this that, you know, he's the best coach in football because he's the best coach in football. It's not exactly a bulletin to anybody, but Tom would know better than we would. He's there on the sidelines. He's there in the meeting rooms. He's in the locker room. Yes, he's the best coach in football.
Right.
But I think Tom was willing to accept, and he would never say this, accept a lesser coach in Bruce Arians for a greater cast, which I think he also has.
Yeah, I think it's the combination of the receivers are better, the respect factor, meaning like the 2 years and the maybe up to $60 million, that's also better. So you add the two together, you'll take a little bit worse of a coach for your final couple of years. Because guess what? Your team, I think, is going to be better. I think you're gonna move on or you're going to advance further than the Patriots are this year. So, you know, add all that up, and I think it's a little bit easier to leave the best coach.
By the way, we just got this in the last couple of minutes, and not that auto racing is a huge deal around here, but it is an indication, a continuing indication of what's going on in our world. The Indianapolis 500 has now postponed until Sunday, August 23rd. They were, of course, supposed to happen in May. It's not going to happen in May. It's going to happen in August. I'm going to tell you right now, there will be no sports played in May.
It doesn't look likely, that's for sure. I thought everything was going to be back up and running by Easter. And I heard that yesterday.
That's probably not going to happen there either.
No. No.
But the Indy 500 is the latest major sports event to be postponed. It will now happen August 23rd, and it kind of goes along with what we've been expecting here.
So when we're talking about different sports, like we had a caller earlier talking about, like, could NBA players who have been tested for coronavirus and don't have it, could they play one-on-one and just give people something to watch and sort of entertainment? Maybe there's even a charity angle to it. Now, that I'm like, maybe that would interest some people. It doesn't really interest me that much. I want to see the teams back on the court.
I agree.
I'm not a
We're so starved for something to watch right now. We'll watch it just because it's on and there's nothing else.
Yeah, I wouldn't stamp my foot and say no because there's probably people that would want to watch it. But I wouldn't have a lot of excitement for it. Now, I'm not a big NASCAR guy, but isn't that one of the sports that probably could go on? Now, again, no fans because we're not there yet in the country. But these guys talk about being socially distanced. They're all in their own car. Now, I guess the pit crew is where you run into issues, and maybe that would be the reason why you couldn't do it. But maybe there are sort of workarounds there.
I think they also feel that they can't do the sport in front of an empty stadium, with nobody in the stands.
Why is their TV deals not big enough? Because I feel like if the TV deals, and aren't these, they're on like Fox and like, I feel like ABC, or they're on some big stations.
I don't know who does NASCAR. I mean,
I think NBC does, F1, or Fox or whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
But I just wonder if, again, it's not ideal, but rather than just post, you might miss a whole year of it. And so it's, again, you want the fans there for every single sport, but you're seeing like what they're doing with wrestling. Like wrestling is saying, you know what? It's better than nothing. We're going to give people something to watch. We're going to keep the networks rolling. We're going to keep our TV shows rolling. It's weird. It's different. But under the circumstances, it's better than nothing.
A quick wrestling aside. And only because you mentioned it, so I jump in here real quick. Vice TV has a documentary series called Dark Side of the Ring. It premiered last year, kind of went behind the scenes with some stuff. They had their season premiere this week. Dark Side of the Ring this week was a special two-hour episode about Chris Benoit, the wrestler, for people who don't know, who murdered his wife, murdered his son, and killed himself, and almost put an end to professional wrestling all by himself.
Yeah.
It was superb.
I saw the first part. It's actually on YouTube right now also.
Is it?
So, yeah. So if you don't have Vice TV, you can watch it for free on YouTube. So just type in Chris Benoit, Dark Side or whatever it is, and that'll pop right up. And so I got to watch the second part. The first part was good because they got like with every good documentary, you need to talk to the right people. Like, I was really upset. Like, I loved the Fab Five, and they did a pretty good documentary on 30 for 30 about the Fab Five, but they didn't interview Chris Webber. Hmm. So you're like, you're kind of missing something. Whereas,
like, the key guy.
Yeah, like, I would like to hear from Chris on this. But this documentary, Chris Jericho does such a great job. They also have
Vicky Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero,
and Nancy Benoit's sister.
Right.
Are, like, the main ones. And they mix in some other people.
And Chris Benoit's surviving son.
Right. So, I mean, that's it. Like, if you were going to say, because obviously Eddie Guerrero's dead, and so the people closest to him are all on this documentary. So it was good, the first half anyway, so I'm looking forward to the second half.
I watched the whole thing. It's why I only got through two episodes of Tiger King.
Oh, okay.
Because I really wanted to see this as well. If you get the chance, it's pretty impressive.
Because as a wrestling fan, like, I'm not as diehard as our old producer Jason Rossi, but like as a fan of wrestling, Chris Benoit became literally like Voldemort in Harry Potter.
God,
like,
yeah.
You couldn't even mention his name. I think he basically got scrubbed from the network. Like, I don't even. Maybe they put some of his matches back on.
Nope.
Oh, they're all gone? Are they really?
You cannot see him on the WWE network. He does not exist. His
That's
name
incredible.
Doesn't exist.
Wow.
His image doesn't exist. It's like he never lived.
And like, you go back through the history of wrestling, there are a bunch of bad guys. There are a lot of them that died way too early. But this guy, to the extreme, because of what he did. And it's like persona non grata. You cannot talk about him. And so for them to sit down, and it's weird, isn't it, to listen to some of the guys talk about him like as a wrestler, and you're like, ugh, I thought we weren't really supposed to do this. But no, it's compelling for sure.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll get some more calls in between now and what else you got coming up later on in the hour. OMF with a fully uniformed Lou Maloney at the top of the hour.
Ready to go.
He's ready for a catch, and you're not there to help him.
I feel so bad. I've never let anybody down this much.
You know Fourier doesn't have a baseball glove in his trunk.
No, Fourier doesn't even come to the station anymore. I was his only hope. I was his only chance, and I blew it. That was it.
We'll get to all of that after we trend.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
I'll let this cat out of the bag.
On WEEI.
All right, as we get ready to get back to the calls with you guys, it's time for this week's take that needs a 180, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Become your vision of you with the solution for weight loss. Six locations are online with Awaken 180's virtual worldwide program. Quick commercial interjection here. I've been texting with Paige at Awaken 180.
Yes.
I've continued my program despite the fact that I'm here. Have continued to lose some weight despite the fact that I'm stuck at home. I might be the only person losing weight at home during home confinement, huh?
Yes, I would imagine so, because I know the alcohol intake is up. The junk food is up.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And the veggies are down.
Yeah, way down. So, listen, if it's a good lifestyle for you, Dale, God bless you. I think other people, though, are going maybe in a different direction.
So, in the open that you've heard now four times, you heard Stephen A., who was... Yeah, you know, the whole thing about breath smelling like Similac and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got Max on there, and I sometimes hesitate. It's not as bad as Rob Parker, but it's close.
Oh, I don't think it's anywhere close. I think the other guy I won't even mention. Max Kellerman's at least a real host or whatever you want to call him.
So Max is famous for his, you know, Tom Brady's getting ready to fall off the cliff prediction. Remember that?
Yes, he is.
How many years ago was that now?
God, I think it was at least one Super Bowl or two Super Bowls and an MVP ago.
Yeah, it might have been that far ago. So he did manage to try to clean that up a little bit.
There's been a cliff traditionally until now. Brady's taken very good care of himself, and there have been changes to the quarterback position. You can't breathe on him anymore. His was more like a ravine than a cliff, but still it's a pretty steep descent.
Oh, my God.
It's a ravine. It's a ravine, not a cliff, yeah. Rich.
It was like a fjord was what really what I meant to say. Like,
oh, why that's what I meant to go with.
What is he doing now? It's a ravine.
He's trying to walk it back.
He did have the one which actually was kind of funny a couple of years ago when he was saying he hit the cliff, but sometimes in cartoons, Wile E. Coyote runs off the cliff, then hangs in the air for a while, and you're like, all right, dude.
With the feet just moving, churning.
Yeah. Gravity hasn't hit yet, so you just kind of stand there.
Well, good news. Now it's a ravine. It's not a cliff.
I guess that's great. I'm sure Brady's thrilled with the update on that.
I kind of like Stephen A.'s breath smelling like Similac better.
I know you did. I could tell.
What I saw last year was him throwing the puppies wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac. These brothers were not ready.
Killed it, Stephen A.
Yep.
By the way, I don't know if you've seen this yet. Frank Caliendo was on Rich Eisen's show. And everybody's working from home now.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Caliendo's in his house. And he reaches behind him and he grabs like a Smurf stuffed puppet and he becomes Stephen A. Smurf.
Oh.
Oh my
Lord. Is it good?
Oh, he's
right, Stephen A. Smurf.
We might try to resurrect that for what else you got. It's coming up in just a little bit.
All right.
Let's get back to the calls with you guys. John is in Longmeadow. Hey John, how you doing?
Hey, doing great, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Awesome. So I just wanted to comment on the Belichick, Magic, and the fact that there's 32 coaches in the league. So obviously, to be the greatest, you're one step ahead of the others. But having the greatest quarterback on the planet obviously helps. So I just want to say or ask, do you think Brady has the advantage to know Belichick's secret sauce? In other words, he's going to go to Tampa and say, instead of spend the next month saying, well, we used to do this, we used to do that, but he could obviously get them insight on some of Belichick's secrets, if you will, and what he's done to stay ahead of the league in coaching.
Maybe. I mean, I think the counter to that would be Bill O'Brien, Matt Patricia, Brian Flores, at one point, Josh McDaniels, Eric Mangini, those guys all should have known some of the secrets as well. And how well did they apply them? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you might know a lot about Belichick, but then you still have to be able to execute it.
And you might know a lot about the offensive side of the football for Bill Belichick. You know nothing about the defensive side.
Well, no, yeah, he does. He's been here for 20 years.
I mean, he's got nothing to do with the meetings and the planning.
No, not the meetings, but, I mean, if you're with a team for 20 years, I mean, and you're going up against the defense, and when you're doing that, like, he has an idea, but it's not like he can go coached. And by the way, they're not going to ask him to do that. They're not going to say, by the way, can you help us out with the defense?
No, I agree with that. But my point is that they those guys have always matched up very well against the Patriots, right?
Oh, his former coaches? Yeah, they have done a pretty good job. But then there's the tricky thing about the rest of the league, you know, and Tampa doesn't play the Patriots this season. They do next season. But what I thought where he was going was, okay, so if Brady and Belichick are both the best, and obviously Brady's no longer the best quarterback, but for many years he was. I thought he was going in this direction, where the coach that Brady is going to play for now is less of a drop-off than the quarterback that Belichick is going to have. Right? Like, I don't think Bruce Arians is the world's greatest coach, but Bruce Arians is a better coach than Hoyer or Stidham is a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that duo still rates higher. Like, because normally the coach quarterback combo is how you kind of pick playoff teams and how you usually kind of, you know, side with how you're betting on games. At least that's how I do it. And for years, it was Brady and Belichick always had the advantage. So not that they're going to win every single game, but they always had the advantage. Now, Arians Brady versus Belichick Stidham, I'm taking Arians Brady every time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And everybody would.
I think so.
First of all, the players around Brady are better than the players around Stidham, right?
Yes.
Oh no, not Stidham. I'm sorry, Stiddy.
Yeah, I would say that they are. I mean, right now it's Mahomes and Reed and Carroll and Wilson, and I don't know where else you want to go, and maybe Brady. Like, those are the best kind of coach quarterback. Harbaugh, Jackson. Like, those are the guys now.
617-779-7937. Curtis is in Greenfield. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
Good.
What's going on?
Call.
Sure.
I was wondering what you guys would think about the NCAA offering an extra year of eligibility to this year's seniors, you know, if they wanted to come back.
They've already done it.
Oh, they have?
They have. They have told athletes who have had their seasons cut short because of the coronavirus that they are allowed an extra year of eligibility. It's incredibly wonderful for the seniors who have been granted that. I don't know how good it is for the juniors who are sitting behind, or the sophomores who are sitting behind the seniors, thinking that they were going to get their opportunity to step up next year, but maybe not.
Well, it's also just, I think, bad for everybody else involved, because even if you're a freshman that plays a ton, right, and pick whatever sport it is.
Yep.
Well, shouldn't you have 4 years of college to play? Like, so they're like, oh, well, you know, don't worry, you have your sophomore, junior, and senior year. It's like, all right, well, I should have 4 years to play. So if you're going to apply it to the seniors, you really should apply it to everybody, in my opinion. And, yeah, now the freshman class is going to get a little backloaded because you have the incoming seniors in high school, but so be it. I think everybody should still be entitled to, if you're good enough, play 4 years of college sports.
Yeah, you really, I mean, as we've said ever since this whole thing happened, these are such extraordinary times, extraordinary measures. I mean, you may be playing Stanley Cup playoff games in August and September. You may literally be doing that. And so, you know, everything is different. The Indianapolis 500 will be played outside the month of May for the first time ever when they run the Indy 500 in August, because it's different now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what are you going to do?
I know. It's tough. Like, I keep trying to put myself in the shoes of, like, all these different, you know, like, whether you're in college or whether you're in high school or, you know, even middle school, and just having your spring just kind of tossed out. Like, no matter where you're at, like, you might be trying to get recruited for college, you know, especially if you play a spring sport and you're a junior, this is it. Like, because senior year, like, the recruiting's kind of over with. Like,
yeah,
you're kind of already committed, or you kind of know where you're going. It's really winter and the winter sports and spring sports for your junior year is so significant. And now that kind of gets bumped.
now you're a senior, and now the recruiting is going to be just so different for the college teams. Like, I so many people are affected. I mean, literally everybody is, but at a certain degrees, you know, certain things you don't even think about.
Richard's down on the Cape. Hey, Richard.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
So, follow up on a caller a couple minutes ago. My biggest question with this Tom Brady and Belichick thing is, does Belichick communicate with the NFC South coaches, like Sean Payton, about how Tom Brady plays?
Well, he's friends with Sean Payton.
Might.
There's no doubt about
he
that.
He might with Sean Payton. Wouldn't surprise me.
I know it. That's why I wondered. I know people talked about Tom Brady and his influence on Tampa Bay and how their team can evolve and Belichick's secrets and such. But my concern would be Sean Payton and Belichick being friends the way they are, and then all of a sudden Tom Brady plays a couple of games in division and the defenses really know how to play against him now, where no one's ever had that insight before.
I got to be honest with you, and again, I think we overestimate the animosity between Belichick and Brady. I don't think he's on the phone now with, you know, the coach in Atlanta and the coach in New Orleans and, you know, damn it, let's find a way to beat Brady. I just don't think he does that.
But I bet Peyton calls Belichick before they play him.
He might.
And I bet they talk and, you know, whatever. I bet they try to help him out, whether it works or not. It's worth a shot. I think all these coaches that are friends try to help each other out. You know, same thing would happen the other way. You know, like
I think Belichick likes Brady.
Yeah. But I think he likes Sean Payton. And if Sean Payton calls him and is like...
I think if he had to choose between the two, he'd pick Brady.
Yeah, but I think he also wants Brady to go 6-10.
I don't think he wants him to go 6-10 to such a degree...
Or 0-16.
...that he would pick Sean Payton over Brady. Hey, I'm going to help Sean Payton beat Brady next year.
Oh, I disagree, because I think Brady and Belichick next year, it's sort of going to be like a game within the game. Like, who has a better record next year, I think is going to be really important to both guys.
I have a feeling this might come up in tomorrow's show as well, when Andy Hart joins us. And it's jersey day tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, I know. I got to go dust them off. Got to go check my closet. See what
we're all going to wear jerseys tomorrow, yep. Including Shime, including John. Well, have we told Andy Hart yet? He's got lots of jerseys.
Oh, we got to tell him.
Yeah, he's not going to show up in some tank top Celtics jersey.
Last time
jersey,
we had a theme was the sweaters for Christmas.
Yeah, we did.
And we told
sweaters.
Andy, and then he showed up without one and claimed that he had not been told.
Whoa, how come nobody told us? And John's like,
how come he told me that?
Yeah, John's like, I did like three times. He's like, maybe you did. I wasn't listening.
We'll tag him on Twitter this time. That way the world knows that we let him know.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but then he won't see it if you tag him on Twitter.
Rich, you have way more jerseys than I do.
I don't have all of those anymore. Like, a lot of those were when I was little, and I don't know what's happened to them. But I still have some in my closet.
For tomorrow.
Yep. Oh yeah.
We're good.
No problem.
And what else you got coming up next? Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Richard?
Devin McCourt.
By the way, only Davey Eyeballs has called you Richard other than me.
Yeah, how do you like that? You're in pretty exclusive company.
And I only do it, I usually do it off the air. Like when you come in first thing in the morning.
Yes.
That's how we greet.
Yes.
And I say, Richard, how are you? But I heard Davey Eyeballs say it. It was jarring to me.
Yes. I guess that's what happens when you've, you know, known the guy for 20-something years or whatever.
Does your
it is.
Mom call you Richard?
Sometimes, I guess. Not really. Yeah, some of my sister does.
Does she insert that middle name, which then, you know,
she doesn't.
You're in deep crap?
No.
Dale Everett Arnold? And then I knew I was in trouble.
My sister's the only one that does. And then, so then her son and daughter, my niece and nephew, they start to too because she does.
Yeah.
But anyway. Okay.
Were you a Rich or a Richie or a Ricky growing up?
No, I was pretty much Rich pretty much the whole time.
You were adult the whole time?
I was... You think Rich is an adult name?
Yeah, at some point it's like a Richie, and then at some point you make the switch.
Well, because my dad's also, his name is Richard, but he goes by Rick, and so my aunts and uncles used to call me like Little Ricky for a while, but then my mom was like, "We're not doing Ricky. He's not Ricky Henderson. We're not doing that." So it's been Rich for as long as I can remember. But anyway, okay. Devin McCourty was on the Greg Hill Show this morning, and really one of the hot Tom Brady topics this entire offseason was not where is he going to go. But does he have a house in Greenwich, Connecticut? So that topic came up with McCourty.
Have you been to the Brady home in Greenwich, Connecticut, Devin?
Oh, I can't confirm. I only go off of what, like, you guys talked about. That's where I saw that.
I
had no idea.
Darn it. I thought you went to like a Super Bowl pizza party or something there, and I was all excited because I thought you could confirm my report. I mean, the report of the media.
I always thought when people reported that they had their, like, facts, so that was true.
No.
Not on this show.
not so much.
Well, it was worth a shot, though.
Sometimes you don't.
Kind of a leading question there as well.
He tried, but he failed.
What else you got?
Real quick before I get to my what else you got. So Steph Curry today did a live Instagram tune-in with Dr. Fauci.
There you go.
I mean, think about this now. Steph Curry, Dr. Anthony Fauci, they do a live Instagram tune-in thing. And I was watching it earlier. It started at 1 o'clock Eastern time. I was watching it earlier. And you know how they say, oh, so-and-so is joined. And they show the people on the left-hand side. And at one point, while they were talking with each other and answering questions, Barack Obama put in a wavy hand. I mean, you know you're a pretty big deal when Barack Obama is tuned into your Instagram tune-in with Dr. Fauci. And as Chris Mannix said earlier, Dr. Fauci probably reached more people under 40 doing this than he did during all the press conferences combined.
Well, that's why he went on Pardon My Take. And
yeah.
I bet more people listened to him on that than even on this one. It's pretty smart to get him out there for the younger people to pay attention.
So we mentioned this earlier that the Rich Eisen show, and everybody's doing these things now where you're doing everything from home and, you know, quad boxes and triple boxes and all that stuff. So the Rich Eisen show was doing a quad box from home, as you might expect. And they had Frank Caliendo, who is just one of the funniest people I know. And Frank Caliendo introduced a brand new character on the Rich Eisen show. It was Stephen A. Smurf.
And now I have to say, with no further ado, the impromptu Stephen A. Smurf. And I understand this is Smurftastic. What in Smurfintosh Smurfation has happened to the Rich Eisen show today? This Zoom is Zoom Smurferific.
It's Stephen A. Smurf, everybody. That's too good.
And I am completely, good. Utterly, and Smurfably deniable. In every single situation.
Caliendo is one of the funniest people I've ever met. He's been on the show on a number of occasions in the past. He is an incredible mime. Not mime. That's somebody who doesn't talk.
He does the opposite.
He can imitate people better than anybody on the planet. He is a scream. But when he introduced Stephen A. Smurf today, it made my day.
These people are losing their minds. He's doing Smurf impressions.
Oh, it's great. So tomorrow, Andy Hart will be in with us, and it's Jersey Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot, but I've got enough
so
that I can come up with something that I can trot out. We'll post pictures on the Dale and Keith Twitter page so that you can see all the different jerseys. Now, John, you got a jersey that you can wear that's not a schmedium?
It's probably a schmedium, I'll be
all
honest
right.
with
yeah,
you.
Well, you got to squeeze into it. You can shoehorn yourself into it.
Shime, you've got a jersey.
Shime's wearing one
wear.
Right now.
I sure do.
No, he said he was wearing a sweater, and you said it was sweatshirt.
Clearly a sweatshirt.
Do Shime esports has organization jerseys count, or do I have to go with like a legitimate jersey?
Jersey.
Jersey. Okay.
He does have a jersey on under his sweater that he wears every day just in case it's Jersey
Day. Just in case it's Jersey Day. It's an Andrew Raycroft.
Nobody's got it. I don't even have an Andrew Raycroft.
He's got to get us all Raycroft jerseys. Next time he comes on, he has to hand out.
I think it's only
Raycrofts.
Fair.
That's what he's going
to
do.
Him.
And my favorite part of every week is Friday at 1:30. Shime has to find things to actually bet on, not things that are made up. Not like,
I just said
hey, how,
something
how
today.
Quick will Rich's commute be? It is.
He did.
Real
I appreciate that,
on.
Dale. Dale would be now the third person that's told me about something that I really need to investigate and think about betting on tomorrow.
Because he's on a heater right now. He is picking weird stuff, but he is picking winners.
Well, I just sent him something in the last little bit because I'm trying to help him out here because I know how hard it is.
You could appreciate you.
You know what you could actually do is you could start betting Red Sox thanks to our guy Davey.
I could.
He's actually going to play out the whole season.
I might bet against the Red Sox every time.
You could, the way things are going.
So OMF is coming up next. Lou Maloney is in complete full Red Sox uniform, including glove and ball. Did he have cleats on when he came in the studio?
He actually didn't. But again, Toronto's a turf field, so I don't think he'd be wearing cleats anyway. He'd be wearing like a turf type of shoes. So yeah.
That's coming up next. OMF at the top of the hour. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Thank you very much for the Twitch Prime sub, Okie, man. Appreciate you.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.